The Volume.
Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
Hennessy is excited to celebrate the intersection of basketball with art, music, and fashion. Each of these elements of culture represent ways that fans, players, supporters pay homage to the game, both on and off the court.
Hennessy and Mitchell and us have come together for the ultimate drop, a limited edition collection to mark their shared love for basketball culture and to celebrate Hennessy's continued partnership with the league.
The exclusive collection will have a limited drop available for both in retail and online and will be featured on the Hennessy Arena Tour, making stops in
San Francisco, Saturday, March 9th, Dallas, Sunday, March 17th,
Atlanta, Saturday, March 30th.
Come see Club 520 Podcast taped live in each city.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice
and a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only.
Please drink responsibly.
When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms. Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
All right, we back. Another episode of Club 520 Podcast. I'm the host. My name is DJ Wells. Special guest in the building to my left. We're going to introduce my man's last, but to my far left, we got my dog, Bishop B. Hinn, out the Prillies. How you up, man?
Long weekend, Ashton. We had a good time this weekend. But yeah, I appreciate y'all. And I'm here. Thank God for another day above ground.
That's like the people who send Grand Rising texts. That's what you just gave us on the podcast.
Amen.
To my right, my dog, Young Nacho, Young Teague. How you up, man?
I'm good, man. Another special guest, another legend in the building.
A legend in the
Every
building.
Every time I look at my phone, I get an alert. Back when I was playing, I used to be scared as hell. But now, man, it's all good stuff, man. So I'm so happy to have my guy in the building. I'm going to let you do the introduction part.
For sure. Look, if you watch basketball, if you watch sports, you know who this man is. You know what I'm saying? He sets the timeline ablaze. Good and bad. He's always got the information we need, man. None other than the legendary NBA insider. Sean, appreciate you pulling the 520, big dog.
DJ,
how you doing,
appreciate
man?
You guys. Oh, appreciate bro. You guys having me. Yeah. Jeff, it's all love. It's all love. Appreciate you guys having me on. You know, I covered Jeff as a player. Mm. Covered his teams. So to see him on the other side now, doing his thing with the podcast. I know he's come on my show. FanDuel will run it back as well. I think Jeff's just got a long, you know, long trek here.
Oh, man, appreciate that.
Second act.
So how is it crazy for you to him to have interviews with you and barely talking? Now you see him on the podcast. Now you feel like you mad you didn't get that content?
I mean, Jeff saved himself for when it mattered most. And that's the second half, the second act of his career. Definitely. So I think he played it smart. He left a lot of people he left a lot of people hanging on every word now because they didn't know any of these stories before. So now he's letting them go. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of former players, right? Chandler Parsons, Lou Williams, they do my FanDuel TV show now.
Shout out to the gang.
Our show's great. And then Jeff's come on. We got Vince Carter on different times. I've done stuff with Amon Shepherd, a bunch of guys. But it was crazy. They're all so different. They're all so unique. And they all have these different experiences that they can speak to. And I think Jeff is obviously one of the main guys, I think, now that's able to speak eloquently and bring up like past experiences and then tie it into what's going on now.
I think that's one thing that people say a lot about is too many podcasts. But a lot of things our community appreciates is the NBA podcast because we get to see a lot of background stories to a lot of different stuff. I think I know this. I thought I know this. And then you can hear somebody talk about it. And that make you respect a performance or a situation or reaction so much better.
So Jeff, my thing is, when did you know late in your career, like, once I'm done playing, I know I got a bunch of stories in the can right now?
Nah, I always told these stories. This was like me every day.
But this is just your boys.
Yeah, we always talk like this. And one day we was doing a podcast. They did a podcast before me. I forgot what it was called. What was it called? That's an Opinion. Oh, I'm just playing.
R.I.P.
I'm just talking. I knew what it was called.
R.I.P.
Nah, but they had a podcast before. And I came on their show. And basically they was like, yo, just tell us some stories. Like, what's the league like? And I was like, dang, that kind of worked. And I wanted to be a part of their team.
Beautiful.
That was some hating ass shit.
Yeah, it was funny.
You still enjoy Death Row either way.
Thanks, but obviously, man, we know what you do now, but how did you get started?
So, you know, growing up, I loved the NBA. Like, I loved playing basketball. Like, in my mind, in my dream, I would have loved to be where Jeff is at, right? Playing basketball, playing the NBA. But obviously, that's a very, very scarce job position league. I mean, you guys are 400 of the best, 450 of the best to do it. It's such a scarce company, if you want to call it that. So once I got cut early in high school, sophomore year, I'm like, I'm not playing on my team. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And I remember my English teacher that year told me, you should write for the school newspaper. You're a good writer. You have passion with basketball. So I just combined both of my passions. I started writing a lot, wrote for the school newspaper. From that, I was writing a Bulls blog because I grew up in Chicago. So I did a Bulls blog. And from there, went to Real GM, I want to say junior, senior year of high school. This is all in high school, so sophomore year of high school. Then around junior, senior year, I started RealGM.com, where to me, like, that was the pinnacle. Like, Real GM and Hoopsite, I would always be refreshing. Like, I was obsessed with, like, news and behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, I would always wonder, like, are we going to get, like, Jeff? You know, yeah. Are we going to trade for Jeff? What are we doing? I remember one year at the trade deadline, they were rumored, the Bulls, to maybe get, like, TJ Ford. So I was, like, refreshing Hoopsite in Real GM. Mm-hmm. Like, are we going to get TJ Ford? Are we going to get TJ Ford? Yeah. I don't think we got TJ Ford. But point being, I was obsessed mm-hmm. with that. And if a team was doing bad, I'm like, why is this team struggling? If a team's doing really well or a player's doing really well, I was always inquisitive. I wanted to know why guys are playing well, why teams aren't playing well. So I think... Like, now I think about who I'm catering to, the fan. I feel like I was that fan growing up. Like, I was that obsessed person. Real. Like, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I would still be obsessed with all this stuff anyway. So now I'm just in a position where I can actually try to get to the news first and, you know, quench my own thirst while also, you know, help, you know, serving the fans and the audience. So yeah, that's a long story short. After Real GM, Yahoo Sports for 3 years, and now I'm at the Athletic Stadium, FanDuel TV.
Everywhere. You know what's crazy? Real ones know about RealGM.com. If you need any stat information, I'm solving every basketball argument. I'm not talking to
knows.
You.
My guy knows.
RealGM. My guy knows. Stop talking to me. We pulling it up. We get straight to it. Ain't no back and forth about it. Now, like you said, you had a crazy journey, but I gotta ask you, you know what I'm saying? You do this for a living. What's the one story, the one drop? He was like, damn, I wish I got this 10 minutes earlier. Or damn, I got this 2 minutes earlier.
I feel like that happens like every year. Like, I could have pointed to two, three at the deadline, you know, at the deadline even. Like, but it's always about when you feel 100% comfortable. Like, that's the fine line that you know, I feel like I'm towing every day, right? Like, you get so many different things thrown at you. Like, around trade deadline week, I probably had 500 different scenarios that I was thinking in my mind or I had written down in my notepad. And how many of those actually happened? I mean, Jeff knows. I mean, you played in the league. Like, when you're on a team, so many different things. Yeah. It's all fluid day to day. And that's why when I was a fan growing up when I was growing up. I would hear players say, "Oh man, I'm taking it one day at a time. Oh, I'm just worried about today." That's it. And I'm like, "Man, that's BS." But then now you see the league, you're around the league,
yeah.
And you're even in this field in general. You're working in general. You could be doing whatever you're doing. You could be my mom's a nurse. Shout out to my mom. She's a nurse. She's taking day to day. You know, we're all day to day as far as our mentality. Things can change at any given moment. It's everything is always, you know, fluid.
For sure. You said you grew up in Chicago. So I imagine you watched Derrick Rose like MVP year.
Yeah.
And you did the content for the Bulls basically. What was that year like seeing D Rose?
So that was 2010-11. That was, I think, my junior year of high school. I mean, it was insane. I mean, I know you played unreal. Against him.
Yeah.
Did you play with him too?
No, I played with him in Minnesota.
In Minnie, yeah.
But in Chicago, at that moment, like when you used to go around Chicago,
he was that dude. And the crazy part is, you know, getting to know him just a little bit and interviewing him a few times, he's always stayed true to like who he is as a person. Like he never was someone that was trying to push himself out there for attention and try to be for the lights. Like I think he always stayed true to the game. And then that year in general. I mean, that team, the way he carried them on a night-to-night basis, I know people can debate, like, statistically, you know. I see it now. People are like, LeBron, he stole the MVP from LeBron. Like, LeBron should win MVP. But, like, if you get the number one seed out of nowhere, the way he did it, and he was carrying that team, 6'2", 6'3", point guard. And to me, you got to say he was the most athletic guy.
Oh, easy. Him and Russ for sure.
Him and Russ have to be the most athletic guys at that position.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever.
And he dominated.
He was dominating. Yeah, he was dominating. And his vision.
I think John Wall. Hold on, man. Not John Wall. John Morant.
You got to put him up there, too. I want to. You got to probably have a little bit more of a. I guess we've seen it.
Yeah.
But I want to see more of it. I want to see him in the playoffs.
He got to go a little. Yeah, I
want. But D-Rose led that team to the conference finals.
Yeah.
I think they took a 1-0 series lead, and I think they were up in game two.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, growing up, I'm like, if they win this, you know, you're up 2-0 on the Heat. You know, and the whole thing was he didn't, you know, supposedly, you know, he wanted to lead the team himself with Lou Alden, Joakim Noah, and those guys. So I think with him, it's always been about he's always stayed true to himself.
Yeah.
And just that season, I mean, you got to say he dominated. He dominated everyone. Sure.
No, he definitely did. That was interesting when you said John Morant because he is up there in that list. But I think a lot of people forget like how athletic Russell Westbrook was. And his prom was a very long time period. I know the last couple of years, the Lakers stuff, we kind of see Russ a little bit older. But OKC Russ in his prom, there was nobody as physical, as big as he was.
And he was power dunking.
Yes.
Two at all times. He was power dunking. D Rose was too. But D Rose would sometimes he would dunk in positions and like angles that you wouldn't even expect him to get to. Russ was just
brute force.
Yeah.
Like I put it like this. Russ was like a Hellcat. He had straight power. And D Rose like a Ferrari. They both got beautiful engines, both fast, both can move. But
I gotta put John Wall up there too, bro. When you said John Wall, it made me think early John Wall. He was like that. He just wasn't on TV enough.
He was fast as hell, though. Yeah, like, you would have to say he was probably, maybe, was he faster than all those other guys?
Nah.
No.
Nah. They all was like the same speed.
Oh, same speed.
Like John Wall's, the fastest player I ever played was De'Aaron Fox.
I can see that.
He's fast.
That's crazy.
I told you, he retired, but he too damn fast. But like Russell Westbrook, he fast as shit, but he had so much power. But like D-Rose was that fast, but he could move like
fast and quick.
Yeah,
you played against all of them in their prime.
Yeah,
who do you think was the toughest?
Toughest to guard was D Rose. Russ was just relentless. Like you'd be like, all right, man, like fuck, like he's a dog. You know he's gonna kill, but he would shoot 40 of them.
Yeah,
and not think 1 second. Like D Rose was like, I'm gonna kill you when I need to kill you. I get everybody else involved, and then his points like hurt.
Yeah.
Russ was like, I'm going to get 70. If I can get 70, I'm getting 70. I don't care if KD on the wing. I don't care if he here. I'll shoot this motherfucker every time.
Man. Yeah.
That was him.
The thing about D. Rose that year, too, his midi was on point.
Mm-hmm.
There was a stretch, a couple years, where his midi was elite. And Russ, too. I think Russ had a stretch in OKC.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
If Mitty was tough.
That hash pull-up was crazy. Unguardable, the hard stop.
And I think that's what separated those two guys from the pack. I think those years when they had, when you have the mid-range shot going like that, when you can get to the basket as easily as those two guys could.
And D-Rose floater. That floater was crazy.
Yeah, that floater was tough.
Nah, you think D-Rose floater fucking with Tony Parker's?
Tony Parker's the best guard finisher in NBA history. He never missed layups. If you go watch,
he never missed layups.
I didn't want to cut you off. Over Kyrie?
Bro, go look at Tony Parker. One year he was shooting 60%
in the paint.
As a guard, is crazy.
And you know, Kyrie is my favorite player of all time. I think what make it different with TP is because, you know, Kyrie is finishing around the rim. Tony was hitting them like 14-foot floaters, bro, off half spins. That's a tough shot.
That's why I mentioned it.
Tony Parker couldn't shoot. Well, I'm like, he eventually grew to have a jumper. Kyrie could shoot. So him getting to the basket is a little easier because you got to respect his three ball. Like, he got a total midi.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You back up off Tony Parker. Like, man.
And
he still getting to the basket, making layups.
Man, do you guys remember the finals in San Antonio where he had that crazy layup that, no business. You have no one probably in NBA history could make the layup that he made.
No, he was for sure.
Unbelievable around the paint, bro. He never missed layups.
Yeah.
You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay authenticity guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when blue checkmark represents on our listing. eBay authenticity guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay authenticity guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy. Without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a question, though. Since you've been doing this at a high level, what's your, favorite trade so far?
Favorite trade?
She was like, damn, that team really won.
And I'm going to piggyback on that, too. Where you got to school, where you broke it.
Man, that's tough.
My bad.
There's a lot.
Nah, yeah.
You could just say a random one, bro.
There's a lot. I mean, it's just being in the middle of like I'll give you an example. Like when Minnie traded Jimmy to Philly.
That was nuts.
And I remember, I think you guys were in Sacramento.
Where we was at?
Yep.
You guys were in SAC, and I believe you guys obviously lost that game.
Yep.
Not because of you. Not because of
me.
Not
probably me.
That's crazy.
That's probably was me.
Let Minnesota tell it.
It was me.
It definitely wasn't you. The problems were way deeper than just JT. Let's be real.
Let's just blame him anyway. It's more fun.
Let's be real.
It was me.
But I remember I was, I'll say this story. So I live in the suburbs of Chicago, right? I've never moved to the city, but I was looking at an apartment in the city, and we were going through the tour of the apartment, and I get a text saying Jimmy is about to get traded to Philadelphia. It's close. And I think you guys had just lost the night before in SAC. And like, this is what lets you know that like you could be anywhere, any given moment. So I'm on this apartment tour. I look down at my phone and I left. I left the tour.
Dang.
Like I never went back. I never bought that apartment. It's just bad omen. You know, you get news, have to leave the tour, you can't go back. So I remember I left that, and then you see the whole terms, and I feel like that's also a major what if around the NBA. You have to say.
Yeah.
Because that team in Philly, I mean, they had Ben, they had Jimmy, they had
Embiid.
They had Embiid.
Tobias.
Jimmy. And then later in the year they traded for Tobias.
Yeah.
So their group, man.
And JJ was there too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Coming off the bench.
Yeah, they had a whip.
TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off the bench.
TJ Nash.
My favorite pacer. Lord Jesus.
But, you know, I don't. Maybe it's just because I think of Jeff, you know. That's the only one that comes to my mind. But.
No, I remember we was on the plane when it happened, and Jimmy. We all on the plane. So imagine getting
Jimmy was
traded.
On the plane too.
Yeah, imagine getting traded while you on the plane, but we in.
Back to Minnie. You guys were back to
Minnesota. Yeah, back to Minnesota. So we got like a 3-hour flight.
Yeah.
And they tell you at the beginning of the flight. So we all on the plane like, dang. Hey, you know I'm a jerk. So I'm like, who they trade for? And they like, we got Robert Covington and Dario. I said, what the fuck? Y'all traded Jimmy for them? Like, no disrespect to Dario and Rob. I like
shout out to Rob.
But
too,
I was
man.
Like, man, y'all playing.
Two great pros, by the way.
Shout out to Rogan.
Wonderful professional players. Two great professional players.
I love both of them.
Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's...
Come on, bro. Like, what we doing, bro?
I know that's your guy, though. I know
but
guy.
I'm like, y'all sabotaging me, bro. Minnesota already hate me.
We're taking with
T. Our best player, bro. Like, come
take
on,
it
bro.
With T.
Yeah.
Sure.
Take it with T.
The wrong end ever.
The real double T's. Look, I'm like, dog, y'all can tell what y'all traded them for. Him. All the people we could have traded Jimmy for.
Nah, facts. That's
you could have got a legit star for Jimmy.
That's crazy.
So that's what I think about when I think about, like, I think about where I am. You know, like if I have to leave a situation, if I'm like on a family trip in the summer, like there have been times, I mean, I'll be like, my family will take like a quick trip and like to like the Grand Canyon or something in August. You know, August and September are usually the times when you play in the league where you try to get away right before Labor Day or into Labor Day. And I remember once I was at the Grand Canyon and I get a text, you know, that John Wall, he was going to sign an extension or something with Washington, major extension. I mean, I left. There was like a library, you know, in those mountains, they don't have any connection. You have to go to the library with spotty Wi-Fi connection. So I remember I left. I went to this library. They took a little shuttle, 15-minute shuttle. Went there. That's my dedication. You know, you guys have to be in the lab. I have to be in my lab.
Gotta watch you though, Shams. You a little sneaky, bro.
Yeah,
I was leaving.
You be dropping them bombs at like 1 a.m. You wake up like, what the fuck? I would have had to miss that one. I'd be like, I got John Wall in the morning, man. We know he's staying in Washington.
I'll give you a sleep one. So remember when Kawhi Leonard got traded to Toronto?
Oh, mm-hmm.
That broke at like 2-3 in the morning. The crazy part is it was like 1:30 in the morning. I was done on my couch. I think I woke up like maybe around 2 and I saw my phone and it was about the trade. And I look on Twitter, it wasn't out. I was stunned. I mean, you know, 30 minutes is eternity.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could have missed it. I could have been, you know. So you never know where you are. So that's the thing that comes out to me is like, you name a trade, you know, hopefully I've broken, you know, if I've been on it. I usually know where I am, you know, when it happens, especially if there's a good story behind it.
Now I got to ask you this question. How do you feel about people complaining about, and they kind of like tapered it off this last year, about the draft announcements? When they was like, don't tweet before the pick actually shows. I'm just like, you know, that's their job, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. like, if I have information, if I have the ability to get to information, I'm going to do what I can. Also, I have a live show as well that I'm doing on my own that streams on Twitter that, you know, it's updating live. Like, we, like, on Stadium, we do live updates of, you know, so we're basing off whatever I'm tweeting, not really what's on air, per se, or what's going on at Barclays. All I do is focus on the information I get. You know, it's like we're kind of the ones that tell the draft.
I wish I would have did that when I was coming out, because I was at home sweating. Like, I wish I would have got a tweet like, "Yeah, they picking you next." I would have been a lot easier for me, because man, I was going through it on my draft night. But I was gonna talk about the trade that I think was the most equal trade ever. It was the Tyrese Haliburton and DeMontis Sabonis. Yeah. I think that was like perfect for both teams. I don't think it's ever been a trade as equal, I would say. Like, when I think about it, like, they both got two superstars, I would say. All-star superstars, whatever. Pacers needed Tyrese, and the Kings needed him. I think that might be the most even trade in NBA history.
I agree. It's definitely up there, but shout out to the Sacramento Kings for giving us Tyrese Haliburton. I still appreciate y'all. Y'all are near dear to my heart for giving us a franchise point guard, because we did not have one.
Both teams won with that.
For sure.
I think the Kings need a big man.
For sure.
So De'Aaron could just be the guy. I think anytime you have a player as talented as Tyrese, you kind of have to decide, like, are we going to give the keys to De'Aaron? Are we going to give the keys to Tyrese? They went all in with De'Aaron. And then you get an all-star big. I mean, Sabonis' numbers this year are crazy. He should have been an all-star somehow, some way. Like,
he got robbed.
Both
bro.
Of them. Fox should have been one.
Sacramento, is that a bad market? Or is it obviously it's a small market team? People not seeing them enough. It's kind of like the Trae Young effect, where you're not watching them enough to really see that these numbers are actually like them getting buckets, not just numbers.
I think possibly that, but I mean, there have been times this year where they've struggled too. Yeah, like too over the course of the year, I think record wise, they're right on pace as last season. I think there's you expected them maybe to take another step, but for they've sure. also had injuries. Deep Fox missed a little bit of time. I think the struggles help as far as that. But I mean, Sabonis' numbers are nuts, and De'Aaron. Yeah. I know De'Aaron's gone through a little bit of struggles as well the last 15 games. I'm not worried about him come playoff time. No. We saw him last year. The performances he had himself. On the fractured finger or whatever. Like He's a beast. Sacramento, I went there actually for game one against the Warriors, their first playoff game in whatever, 17 years. That place, that might have been the best environment of a non-finals game I've ever been to.
Damn.
As far as how rowdy that crowd was, how much anticipation there was, how hype everyone was going in. And the arena's beautiful. So I think Sacramento's building, do they need a third piece though?
Yes.
Who, though? Who would you see in Sacramento?
They went after Pascal Siakam. They went after OG Anunoby. They missed on both. Do you try to go get Kyle Kuzma in the summer? Who would you try to get if you're Sac?
I don't think Kyle put them over the hip, because I think Keegan Murray can develop to be as good a contributor as Kyle would be for that team.
Keegan Murray is nice.
And he's like, he looks like he's soft-spoken. Like, you gotta, sometimes the coach might have to push him a little bit to.
Yeah. I don't know what they need.
They could use a wing, but you got to get rid of a couple pieces.
Harrison's coming off the books soon, I think.
He's got 2 years after this year.
Oh, never mind. Sorry. Yeah, they're going to have to make a trade there.
You got
to
get rid of him.
I'm trying to think who they could get.
That's the one position. That's even for the Pacers. It's that one. That elite three is the final piece in every real, like, big three situation in the league. Because you got a lot of elite point guards. If you're lucky to have a good bit, you got to have that elite wing to compete.
I used to want them to have Zach LaVine. But I just don't think Zach. I don't know.
Not
I used to
no
be like,
more.
Man, they play
Zach needs to get healthy. That's the biggest thing, man. Hopefully,
that's a good call, though, bro.
Hopefully, he can get healthy next season. Next season, obviously, got to be a bounce back year. And Lonzo Ball, making progress. Let's see if he can come back. Play? I think Lonzo Ball is very much hoping and aiming to come back next season.
I hope he plays. He does, man. That's one of the few guys, like. We love, like, he's one of the areas that we saw, like, LaMelo, like, Lonzo was always cold. He went through some scrutiny with the Lakers, you know how that goes. But he's one of the people, like, we want to see Lonzo hoop because he played the right way and he's cool.
Well, I got some news on. I mean, he's back on the court. He's
that's what's up, man.
Not to, it takes a while to really ramp up, but he's doing some spot shooting, a little bit of light light jogging, light walking, light running. But that's not stuff that he was cleared to do, ready to do on his last couple.
He
would start and stop. He would get going and then he would get pain again. But now he's able to at least get to the point where he's on the court. You're doing a little bit of jogging, a little bit of moving around. And he wasn't there a year ago. He couldn't physically. So now he's back to that point.
He was going to take off like Brandon Ingram, I think, if he didn't have those injuries.
Yeah. But what about like Chicago, speaking of the Bulls? What do you think they do with DeMar? You think they're going to extend him?
Man, that's a... I think they've discussed an extension. Yeah. And I think now... The thing with the Bulls is being competitive is important to that organization, to that franchise. And you have to say, since they went all in with Kobe White, since Zach LaVine's been hurt, I mean, I think they're, six, seven games over 500. Like, they've played better. And the thing, last season, some of these games, they weren't even in.
They were getting
blown out. Now they're competing on a night-to-night basis. Yeah. And you have to give DeMar a lot of credit for that, Vucevic a lot of credit for that. Oops. And Kobe White, I mean, I don't know. Who's your guy's most improved player?
Definitely.
Kobe White?
Kobe White, definitely.
Kobe White, that's not a bad call. I might.
Bro,
he's having, what, 20 points a game?
Went from, 12 to 20? Starter, playing well.
And it's come out of nowhere. And it was like, once Zach got hurt, you saw his numbers went skyrocketing.
You know what's crazy? Because like you said, he had a shaky moment in the beginning of the season. He got the opportunity and just really been going crazy. That chemistry is really high, too, you can tell.
And I think that's what makes people think, but again, Chicago fans, I'm sure, blow it up. But it's like, if you're not going to get real offers for DeMar DeRozan, real offers, you can probably trade DeMar. But like, what do you, like you said with the other trade we just discussed, what are you trading a DeMar DeRozan for? Is that going to keep you competitive? Is that going to keep you in it? So you can at least compete for at a high level. And no one was really giving up good draft picks for a guy that's going to be a free agent this summer. So my sense is they're going to go into the offseason. We'll see what happens the rest of the year. But I think they're going to want to see what they can get done with DeMar DeRozan long term.
DeMar deserves to be on a contender or a team contender. For sure. This is why he's been in the league a little bit.
Yeah. Facts. I don't know where I want to see him play. I don't want him being with the Lakers.
Nah, don't do that.
I don't want him to go to the Lakers.
What do you mean by like a team like Miami?
He'd be fire with Miami.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's
perfect.
They won't shoot no threes.
That's kind of hard though, because I don't know, y'all, because what about Tyler Hero too?
He's going to play, but Tyler Hero is one of those guys. He's playing well, actually. He's been really good.
He has been.
But
you think all three of them could mesh?
Yeah. One thing about Jimmy know how to make everybody better, and he don't mind taking a back row. When he got to be the dog, he can be the dog. And DeMar the same way. When he was in San Antonio, he was literally like a point forward almost.
Yeah.
Like, he was running point guard. He was doing everything. Tyler Hero get buckets.
That's what you said, Kobe White, though. One of my choices for most improved, Jalen Williams.
Got to put him up there.
Like, OKC.
This is his second season?
Yeah. Second season. And he's going crazy.
Insane. I mean, crazy. He's balling. I saw him yesterday, actually. It was crazy. I interviewed him in the summer. We were talking about fashion. That was the crux of the interview.
Yeah.
And I remember we both looked at each other. I think if we do an interview now, the topic's changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to be an all-star next year? That's what the topic going to be.
And what's so far about OKC, and then you look at other places who, even so much with Cleveland last year, like rebuilding fast in the NBA is like a trend. It's not waiting no more. That's like, even with the Pacers, like us going to get Pascal was just like, oh, we really actually found one to trend now, because nowadays them young teams, they're not young long. You get your pieces that you can ride with and you figure out how to fill the slot and you can have a rebuild year in 18 months. How is that like now with the drafting process? Is that weighing in on how draft picks are valued now, the way that people are rebuilding?
I mean, it's just now you either are going to hoard your draft picks or you're going to use them, right? So Indy went all in. You know, they didn't. The thing with Indy is they didn't value this year's draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the crux of it. So they didn't value as high as to be like, we'll move these three first to go get Pascal Siakam, and they did it. Teams like OKC, I mean, they got one of the more talented young rosters, but they also have like 30 draft picks. I want to say they got 10 first round picks they can trade. A bunch of seconds, obviously. Uh-huh. A bunch of swaps they can trade. And that's why they made a trade with Dallas on deadline day that went overlooked. They gave up one of their 2024 first round. I think they had a couple. One of their 2024 first round picks to Dallas for a future pick swap. They didn't even get a future first. They get pick swap, unprotected pick swap. So that's Sam Presti being like, listen, we got enough young players here. We're going to give up one of our first round picks coming up soon. Because it's like, what are you going to do with one more rookie scale guy on this roster?
Nothing.
So give up that pick, and then we'll see if we want to swap like 4 or 5 years from now, 3 years from now, if we need that. So I think what they're building right now is you got to give them credit. And at the deadline, they get Gordon Hayward. And I think the Gordon Hayward pickup is good because he's a vet. He plays the right way. But let's say you have a guy with has an injury, but there's foul trouble down the stretch of a playoff game. Like, who better to throw in there? Or someone that might be struggling.
Yep.
Who better to throw in there than Gordon Hayward?
Reliable vet.
In that type of moment.
And so, he literally is, like, perfect fit for their team because he played just how they play. Mm-hmm. They all play with 6'8" wings. Like, Jalen Williams plays the four. You know what I mean? Gordon Hayward's the same size as him. They all, like, play positionless basketball, basically. Because, shit, he a center, but...
He really a PG.
He a small forward, really. Like, he can shoot, dribble, all that. So, their team is just, like, a perfect plan. They play like I play on 2K. For real, everybody can pass, everybody can shoot, everybody can dribble the ball. So... You'll know when you get it. It'll say eBay, authenticity, guarantee. You'll feel it because when it comes to your feet, eBay has your back. Maybe it's that head-turning pair for hooping or a hot new collab. Whatever you're after, when you cop on eBay, you can trust that your kicks will be checked by experts, not just any expert, sneaker experts who live and breathe the culture. Real people with real hands-on authentication experience. That's when Blue Checkmark represents on our listing. eBay Authenticity Guarantee, meaning every inch, stitch, sole, logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. So when you finally step into those grill kicks, you'll realize the feeling is unlike any other. And with eBay Authenticity Guarantee, the feeling of real is always within reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Without a ball, it's just a court. Without your spirit, it's only a game. So together with the fans, we bring our best.
For your next pregame, let's share a twist on the classic, the Hennessy Margarita.
A squeeze of fresh lime juice.
And a bit of agave syrup. Top it off with some ice and a salted rim.
Mix it, shake it, pour.
And enjoy the spirit of the NBA.
Hennessy, without your spirit, it's only a game. 21 and over only. Please drink responsibly.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, another interesting situation we got monitored for next year, the Pelicans. I can't believe it, but they're really thinking that they have to choose between Brandon Ingram and Zion next year.
You think?
I think so.
Why can't you pay them both?
You can afford it.
Do they?
But they're the Pelicans.
Do you think they... Because Zion, right, his contract can be voided now, right?
They're not going to void.
I mean, not obviously. Yeah. Now that'll be crime.
I mean, like, he's played. he's played.
No, yes, but I was just saying, like,
They got him off the internet. That's all that was. They was trying to scare him off the internet.
Yeah,
I got off the internet. Everything cool again. Because
Freaky Z, he going to meet those weight requirements for sure.
You call him Freaky Zeke? Is that the nickname?
No, he ain't earned it. He ain't earned a full name yet.
Oh, okay. I
just
got
Freaky Z.
Yeah, just Freaky Z for that. Freaky Zion. He get a real nickname later.
Big A boys.
Nah, but they got to.
What do you think about their team, Jeff? Do you think that with those two guys and CJ, they called on DeJounte Murray trade deadline week. They looked at different packages, mostly around, you know, the young player that they were looking at, Dyson Daniels potentially. Mm-hmm. You know, Atlanta wanted Herb Jones, and that was a sticking point.
Herb Jones, man.
And New Orleans didn't want to move Herb Jones from what I was told.
He's a valuable piece, though.
And so
he called.
And that's it's such a fine line because New Orleans is like, listen, if we can bring in DeJounte Murray while keeping our core, of course we want to do that.
Beautiful.
But the moment you have to give up a member of your core, it's like, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really make us better? Does it push over time? Would you have given up Herb Jones for DeJounte Murray?
Yeah, I think because DeJounte's still young and he's a two-way player. He plays hard. But it gives him another ball handler because I know CJ, he can play point, but he's not a natural point guard. DeJounte, he's a two-way combo guard, but I just give him another ball handler. Herb Jones is a defender shooter.
He's a defender first.
Yeah.
He's going to be a piece that really helps the team.
I think you can get another one of him.
Yeah,
I think you can. I think you can find another long defender. I mean, Miami do it every year. They find somebody.
Miami's they're scouting. Yeah. You got to give their scouting department a lot of credit.
So I think you can find a guy like him. Not saying he's not a valuable player. He definitely is. The reason my Hawks want him, but you can find another guy like him. Do that, bro. We rebuilding.
No, I do.
They about to trade Trae Young, though.
Oh, we got a club 520 prediction.
Nah, I made that up. But
the real Sean.
he probably want to go, though. I'm sure he wants to go to San Antonio.
Ooh, that's...
Nah, bro.
Why wouldn't he, bro?
I can see LA
with Wimby.
To play with Wimby is cool.
Him and
Wimby
will be... That'd be ridiculous.
But going to live from Atlanta to San Antonio is crazy.
He's from Oklahoma.
Touche.
You didn't play for Quinn, did you?
Yeah, I played with Quinn his first year in Atlanta.
And then in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Do you think Quinn wants to rebuild?
Nah. Quinn likes to win.
That's what I'm saying.
He likes to win.
So if you're Quinn, you know, from everything I hear, the Quinn trade relationship's been really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think you know, it's two things. I think Trey understands he needs Quinn to win.
Yeah.
And Quinn knows he needs Trey if you're going to try to win in Atlanta. And that relationship's been good. So what do you do if you're Atlanta?
You just can't. It's nobody on the market that can, like, take Atlanta over. Yeah, like, take Atlanta over, like, over the hump. You got to have a certain type of player to play with Trae Young. You need a live threat or you need a big that has the ability to stretch the floor. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to get that in Atlanta. Like, I love our bigs. I love O.
Jalen,
everybody's cool. Like, it's just not a great fit right now, though. Like, D Hunt really doesn't play anymore. Dre, like, he need to play. I'm not going to say he need to play more, but he don't play as much as he used to. So I'm sure he's a trade piece, but his contract is pretty steep. DeJounte and Trey, they're both great guards, but I don't know if they fit together.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if that's... Trey needs the ball. Like, he's Luka. He's James Harden. He needs the ball. So you got to put guys around him who can make shots, create their own shot here and there, but Trey going to create it for him. And DeJounte, a guy, he's still getting 20 points a game, but he's a guy that I do this too. I don't think it's a great fit.
Speaking, you're talking about one of the best trades in history. I feel like that Luka and Trey trade is I know, obviously, Luka's here, even though Trey's here, but that's still one of the better trades because both teams got a franchise player. But you did get a generational talent in Luka. I understand. I know it's different, but it's still like they didn't get a person who was a slouch either.
No, Trae. Yeah.
Trae Young is an all-NBA caliber player, too.
Trae Young is cold.
They've both been to the conference finals, though.
Nah, that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Both of them.
We played Trae Young in the conference finals.
Yeah, you had your vendetta against the Hawks.
I had my bright spot in that series. He said, what the fuck? You can't even shoot no more. I was like, damn, Trae.
What do you think about Milwaukee right now?
Fear the deer.
My Bucks. They in a rough patch right now. I think it's up and down. They still trying to find themselves. I think once Dame and Giannis get on the same page, like once Doc figures out how they want to work together.
But I feel like they have to play separately. You know how, like...
Staggered in the minutes.
Yeah. I think they have to let Dame have his moment with the team, and then Giannis have his moment. And then once they do that, I think they'll find a good groove.
Because Dame...
Yeah, like, because Dame's so talented offensively.
Yeah.
And Giannis so talented offensively. I think if you don't let them both have their moments where they the guy,
yeah,
it ain't going to work.
For sure.
Free T-Nasty.
Who's that?
T-Nasty. You got to have T-Nasty, bro.
The Nastis.
Oh, T-Nasty.
He's a missing link, bro.
He's a glue piece?
He
the glue is crazy.
He seems like a great teammate, though.
Nah, he is. He's an assistant coach, for real, though.
I'm rolling.
Nah, dead serious, bro.
He was a real Adrian Griffin.
He used to really, like, pull me to the side before the games and tell me what I needed to do.
Did you listen?
I used to be like, bro, I'm not about to play. I'll tell that to Drew or somebody. Like, he was like, no, when you get in, you need to do that. Nah, bro. You talking to the wrong dude, bro. I'm on this group project like you.
I don't got no words for my boy.
That's crazy. Now, I know that this was rumored, but LeBron possibly being a Warrior or them trying to make that happen is still crazy. But I still would love for that to happen one way or another. I would love to see a season of LeBron to play with Steph.
It
would ruin the NBA, and I'm here for it.
That would be crazy.
I don't think there was any chance LeBron James was leaving the Lakers.
Not at all.
At the deadline, no matter who called.
Right.
But like this summer is going to be interesting. He has a player option. At the end of the day, his future is in question just for the simple fact he's got a player option. We don't know what he's going to do. Where does Bronny end up? Does Bronny declare? Does he get in the draft? Who drafts him? Like, there's all these dominoes that have to fall before his player option. I believe his player option date is after the draft. So a lot of questions are going to be answered. If Bronny comes out.
He's brilliant, man.
And Bronny's in the draft. We're going to, like, a lot of questions are going to, like, let's say Miami or whoever drafts Bronny, right?
Cleveland.
Then.
That'd be crazy.
Well, no. LeBron has said he wants to play with Bronny, but does that mean next season? Does that mean after Bronny's rookie year? Like, there are a lot of questions that I think LeBron still has to figure out and spend second half of the season. Yeah. Playoff. We still don't know how far that team's going to go. We still don't know what's going to happen with that team. Obviously, they got Spencer Dinwiddie on the buyout market. They didn't make any trades at the deadline. That was basically their trade.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a good fit. Gabe Vincent trying to come back first week of March, potentially second week of March. We'll see if he makes it back. But they got to get healthy. Jared Vanderbilt has to get back in the lineup.
For sure.
And then if they get healthy, I mean, this team has a shot, I think. They got to the Western Conference Finals last year. As long as the coaching staff players on the same page, I think they have a shot.
Yeah, I think LeBron can book that vacation a little bit earlier this year. Yeah.
But if Bronny gets drafted to Cleveland, and LeBron go back to Cleveland, this is like a 2K story. Like, 2K. It's not real.
That's
like,
the most,
this can't be real.
That would be the most toxic relationship of all time.
He'll fuck around and get drafted to the Lakers, bro.
Yeah, they going to draft him. But yeah, that's dope.
Going back to your ex twice is crazy. If LeBron go back to Cleveland, that's insane.
Well, three times, right? Started there, left, went back.
Yeah, I'm sorry, went back twice. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a lot of time. A lot of time back home.
I'm leave that alone.
The NBA, hey, man, we're going to really miss LeBron because ain't nobody else going to be able to do the shit that he does and really, like, have everybody mind messed up for a whole year just off allegations.
Who do you guys think are, like, the next names? After LeBron, Steph,
Anthony Edwards, bro.
AE's one of the guys. I think Shai. I think
MVP Shai.
Shai for sure.
Yeah.
LaMelo.
Free LaMelo. He got to get out of Charlotte, though.
I don't know about LaMelo. I think he's a great player.
The personalities with the game, bro. The game has changed.
Oh, but they're so bad in Charlotte. Like, you can't even appreciate his game because they're so bad.
I think for the first time in a while, Charlotte actually picked a direction, though.
Yeah, but I'm
trading guys away, getting picks.
And Melo hasn't been playing.
It took so long.
Really?
He's been out.
You know what I mean?
Like,
they got Trey Mann, though. I like that for them.
Yeah, he's playing really, really well. Grant Williams, they got.
Yeah.
His value was low, and he's
they
playing
hated
well.
Him in Dallas.
Grant, I know what he was doing because I played with Grant. He's not a bad guy at all. He just probably was just talking the whole fucking time. He never shuts up. Like, the whole day he talks. Like, he wakes up talking. He'd be like, Grant, I don't care. Grant, leave it alone, Grant.
He's the first player to get a DMP for talking too much. They put that on the report.
Literally, I knew it.
Nah,
he always talking.
I think Luka and Ja are going to take over the league, though.
That's one person. Ja's absence was felt this year.
Yeah, man. When he came back, they were 6-3. They were rolling. It was unfortunate, man, with his injury.
Like, they cannot play without him. Jaren Jackson is a totally different player without Ja Morant.
The whole team is.
But he's an all-star, though, bro. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, damn, you really need your guy.
He the heartbeat of the team. He everything to the team. Yeah. But that's because his personality, the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think losing Dylan Brooks, even though they got my guy Marcus, who was a good player, he's been hurt too. But Dylan Brooks was like,
he gave him
an edge.
Yeah, you're right.
And it made him like almost like that Tony Allen, Mike Conley, Z-Bo kind of team.
But you hope Smart gives you that once this team is whole again.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of different. You know, like, Smart came, he had that Boston lineage. Like, Boston, they carried themselves a certain way.
Yeah.
You walked in, your bags, your clothes, nice. Then you get to this team with all these young dudes, they dancing. That ain't Smart. Smart ain't dancing. He not doing all that. He like a serious dude. Then you get with a team full of young guys dancing around. I don't know. Dylan Brooks just fit that. Like, he doing that. That's why the Rockets are a good team this year. You know, he brung that same energy with them, a bunch of young guys. He just fit in, bro. I don't know. I don't think they should have let him go. But
yeah. I want to ask you that question in reverse. Like, I mean, obviously outside of Wimbo, we know how good he is. How you feel about some of the young rookies this year?
I mean, Chet, you know he's going to be a beast for years to come.
Elite.
So who's your guy's rookie of the year?
It has to be Wimby.
It's light, Sean. That's easy.
10 blocks, bro.
Statistically, I said this actually on air like last week, I think. I think it's only a matter of time before he gets a quadruple-double. I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes the NBA league history leader in quadruple-doubles. I think it's four guys with one quadruple-doubles. He came 5 assists away from doing it in like 29 minutes the other game. Like, I think it's only a matter of time. Once he starts playing 35 to 40 minutes consistently, like, he's going to get one. He's going to get another one. And then we're going to look up. He's at like 5 to 10 over his career. I mean, he could literally do everything. He could stuff the stat sheet. Chet, you have to give him a lot of credit. And then Brandon Miller, he's played really, really well. Hooping.
He got game.
Like, he looks like a guy that can definitely be an all-NBA caliber.
That
wing.
Terry Rozier trade opened the doors for him. He's been killing.
Yeah, he's been cooking.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how Scoot Henderson develops. Obviously, point guard. Jeff, you play point. Mm-hmm. That's probably the toughest position
for sure.
Mechanically, you know, to understand. You've seen him make strides, you know, one game. You know, look really good. Next game, the team will struggle. It's tough for him not being on the team with, you know,
some more vets.
Yeah.
I mean, they got vets, but need better.
They had a year one rebuild.
Yeah. Aiden Funny is hell. I'll be watching his tweets. He's hilarious.
DNP, snowstorm.
That's crazy.
That's fire. Calling off NBA is fire.
Nah, not really.
Have you ever seen that one?
No, that was the first time I seen that. I'm like, is this real? I didn't think it was real, but that happened to me in Atlanta, actually. I take that back. I couldn't get down the hill or up the hill in my car. I had a little BMW.
I think that's what happened to DeAndre Ayton is there was a steep hill.
Yeah.
And they were saying, basically, we can't allow you to come up or down. Like, it's just not safe.
Yeah.
And
it's
tough.
That happened to me in Atlanta. We had a snowstorm in Atlanta. You know, Atlanta.
How did you get out?
I didn't. They canceled the game, though.
Ooh.
They didn't have any. I couldn't move. I was stuck in the house for like 3 days. Leonard don't prepare for snowstorms at all. So they didn't have no salt trucks, nothing. So the whole city was shut down. Lou Will actually left his Phantom on the side of the road. You should ask him about it.
I will.
He left his Phantom on the side of the road. I was like, damn. You do that, we know we in trouble.
Nah,
he leave the Phantom out there?
Because ain't nobody come to get it. Hey, Teague Aiden, I didn't know you was the first.
Nah, I mean, they canceled the whole game, so.
Oh, okay.
It was cool.
But the rest of your team got to work.
Yeah, some people was at the gym, but me, they end up canceling it, though.
I mean, if it's a canceled game, you're good on all accounts.
Yeah,
you're good.
But, hey, watching your team play for the crib, hey, y'all going crazy tonight. Hold it down. That's fire.
The first time I ever got injured, that's how I felt. They went on the road, and obviously you watching the game. I'm like, dang, they really out there without me?
Yeah.
I was sick. Dennis Schroeder was hooping too. I was like, fuck.
The rebuild.
I was touching my ankle. I gotta get back. I can't let him start getting starter minutes, man. He's gonna take my spot. Nah, but
But on that note, we're going to get up out of here, big dog. Appreciate
you guys having me, man.
Appreciate you. Where can they find you at, man?
JT, you find me at The Athletic, on Stadium, FanDuel TV, Running Back.
Twitter,
Shams Charania. IG, I think Shams NBA. You know, I love what I do. You guys love what you guys do. So it's all in the love of the game. So appreciate you guys having me, man.
Thanks for having me here.
Appreciate you, man.
Nah, it's a blood.
Hey, look, you know what it is, Club 520. We'll be back next week. Like, share, subscribe, all that good shit. We appreciate y'all.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.